Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist.
And if the filibuster gets in the way, it provides an exception.
Ending the filibuster is a very dangerous thing to do.
Not just by the rest of the West, but by the rest of the world.
We don't want climate change addressed.
This is a win at first blush for the Biden administration.
I am pleased to welcome Justice Jackson to the court and to our common calling.
Many years ago, there was a man named John Lovitz.
Yeah.
And he did a routine called The Liar.
Yeah, that's it, ticket.
I remember that. Don't you remember that? Yeah. President Trump speaking out yesterday about some of the testimony from Cassidy Hutchinson with him trying to grab the wheel of the presidential limo, supposedly, allegedly. Boy, that one fell apart in a hurry, didn't it? No kidding. Hey, glad you're with us. It is July 1st, and we are ready for a long weekend, I think a lot of us. We'll have the day off Monday as well for the holiday. We'll be playing some special Fox programming for you that morning, so let me give you a heads up on that. And then we'll be back on Tuesday, which is really, when you look at it closely, the bigger of the 2 days. So we'll happily be back in the chair on Tuesday.
Your birthday?
No, oh, that's it.
Oh, yeah. There was something
Thank
about
you
that
for
day.
Acknowledging that, Carl. I appreciate that.
Rabbit.
Feel free to send your gifts to 1220. No, I'm just kidding.
And if anyone wants to get Mark a gift, he would like a pair of tickets to go see that Motley Crue show at
Wouldn't
Bush
that
Stadium.
Be awesome? The problem is I'm not scheduled off on Wednesday. Wednesday, so it would be a late night. I'd probably have to sleep down here or something. There's a couch. There's a couch in that
I
lounge
believe
area.
There was
down
also
there.
A memo that says we're not supposed to do that
anymore. Oh, okay. Well, I don't remember that. I didn't see that. I'll just lock my door and sleep in the office.
Yeah, you can sleep in your own office.
That'll work. Yeah, no kidding. Hey, we got lots to get to yet. We're going to talk to Dave Zucker coming up, chairman of the Republican County Central Committee out there in St. Charles County. Going to talk to our friend Mark McCloskey. Anxious to get his thoughts on the independent who's announced, being backed by John Danforth, he's going to run in November against whoever the Republican nominee is and whoever the Democratic nominee is for the Senate in the state of Missouri. What does it do? Josh Hawley suggested it puts the seat at risk and the balance of power in the Senate. And that's a big deal. So we'll talk to Mark about that. We try to have different candidates on several times a week. I'm letting them all on the air to talk about their desire to be your choice for the Senate in the primary. And we'll see what happens. The last poll showed, depending on which poll you read, Eric Schmidt ahead a little bit of Eric Greitens and Vicky Hartzler a close third. And then Billy Long, and then, Mark McCloskey in the last poll that I saw was in fifth place. But we'll get his thoughts on that coming up a little later this morning. So be sure and stay tuned for that. Carl, I wanted to get back to the history that was made yesterday, because we're going to be talking about the Supreme Court here in just a couple of minutes and the decision they made. It was sort of we were sort of one for one yesterday. The last two decisions that were dropped by the Supreme Court. One did not go our way, which was the stay in Mexico policy. They ruled against that, or they ruled that the Biden administration had the authority to cancel it. The other one did go our way, and that was the one dealing with the EPA. But as soon as they issued those decisions, Justice Breyer retired. He stepped away from the court, and they had a swearing in of the newest Supreme Court justice. Go to cut 12, please.
I, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
I, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will administer justice.
That I will administer justice.
Without respect to persons.
Without respect to persons.
And do equal right.
And do equal right.
To the poor and to the rich.
To the poor and to the rich.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge and perform.
Discharge and perform.
All the duties.
All the duties.
Incumbent upon me.
Incumbent upon me.
As an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States.
As an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Under the Constitution.
Under the Constitution.
And laws of the United States.
And laws of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
And now, on behalf of all of the members of the court, I am pleased to welcome Justice Jackson to the court and to our common calling.
All right. Congratulations to her, the newest associate member of the United States Supreme Court, making history, right, yesterday. First black woman to sit on the United States Supreme Court. So congratulations to her than that. Also, I would say making history is the first person to sit on the United States Supreme Court that cannot describe to us what a woman is. Right?
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context. So I'm not a biologist.
So one thing we know for sure, she's not a biologist. So moving forward, as we look at some of her decisions, we'll be armed with that information. It's just silly season in America. I wanted to point that out there. By the way, do you remember the debate here in St. Louis about the coal-burning power plant, the Rush Island power plant here? That Ameren is having to accelerate the closing of that facility. And they've been accused of Clean Air Act violations, and the EPA has been pressuring them to close it down. The Sierra Club, they want it shut down. All of these things, which is part of a huge government overreach. Opening a new plant is out of the question. And in the meantime, they're having to figure out how they're going to bring enough energy into the greater St. Louis area to make sure they can prevent rolling blackouts. This is madness. 70%+ of the energy to your home in the greater St. Louis area is produced by a couple of coal-burning power plants brought to you by Ameren, Missouri, or Ameren, Illinois, whichever one serves you. What's the alternative? And the EPA has been, since the Obama administration, consistently cracking down on these plants and forcing new regulations on them that cost millions and millions of dollars that get passed right into your utility bill, right? So it's the consumer who's paying for it. And finally, the lawsuit got to the United States Supreme Court, and they issued a decision this week. And we've got Katie Tubb on the phone with us. She is a research fellow for energy and environmental issues up at Heritage. And Katie, I appreciate you giving me some time on this Friday. How are you?
Oh, absolutely. Good morning. It's good to be with you all.
Yeah, you know, I saw somebody, maybe it was Lauren Boebert, one member of Congress, who tweeted out, that today we celebrate the end of the Green New Deal, in her opinion. Now, I know that that's an overstatement because that's a political effort in Congress, which is what the Supreme Court said would need to happen instead of administrative fiat by unelected bureaucrats in the EPA. Do I have that correct?
Exactly. You know, and I think that's the biggest victory of this is, yes, the EPA's Clean Power Plan is now off the table, very firmly off the table. But the bigger win here is that the Supreme Court said, look, if you agency, and in this case it was EPA, if you want to invent for yourself a massive authority to regulate a huge part of the economy, you need to have very clear direction from Congress that you can do so. And that direction applies not just to EPA, but to every regulatory agency out there. So I think it was a very clear warning shot from the court that self-government and representative government still matter in the United States.
Well, if you listen to people like Gavin Newsom and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and a variety of other very progressive environmental activists and politicians in this country, what happened yesterday is going to contribute to the death of mankind. That what you're doing here is hamstringing the EPA from saving the world from climate change effects.
Right. And to me, you know, that just shows me their hand is, you know, the court, or I'm sorry, Congress could very well pass a law that tells EPA to do exactly what the Clean Power Plan says. But what matters there is that that direction is coming from Congress, not from an unelected bureaucrat. And so when I see, you know, the AOCs of our country decry this decision as, look, this is an activist court gutting our best chance of climate action. To me, it just shows me that they don't want to do things through the transparent means of debating an issue in Congress and passing a law. They want to go the route of an opaque, under the table route of an unelected bureaucrat to pass a massive climate change agenda. And so to me, it just shows a disturbing impatience with the system of government that the Constitution has designed or set up or defines.
And I appreciate you joining me today because I need your expertise on this. The Clean Power Plan, you know, it's like one of those names they assigned to certain legislation in Washington, the Everybody Loves Puppies Act, which sounds great until you read what's in it and you realize what they were trying to do to some of these to power companies. Right. Is it not true that we produce the cleanest power anywhere? I mean, when you compare us to certainly to China and India and some of the other countries in the world, Russia, for example, what we've done in the United States is pretty amazing over the years.
Yeah, I think we have a lot to be proud of in the United States when it comes to our air quality. So over the last 40 years, our air quality has improved by 70%. So that shows you how far we've come. And I think, you know, the comparison point could be a place like China. Our coal plants are phenomenally better operating than China's. And you can see the evidence just by looking out your window. I've been to Beijing, and it's interesting. Yeah, you know when you're getting into Beijing because you go through basically a yellow cloud of dust. And so I think we have a lot to be proud of in the way we steward our environment. So the Clean Power Plan was, I think, very much a euphemism for what is essentially a cap and trade program to force the closure of coal plants and then eventually natural gas plants and force states to adopt wind, solar, and other varieties of renewables. So it was very much about central control and not about improving the environment.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been warned about this from a long time ago. From when Barack Obama ran for office back in 2007, I mean, you have to listen to what these politicians are telling you, even then, to kind of get an idea where his approach to energy came from. Let me take people back to 2007 here.
And the president, frankly, hasn't had an energy policy. And as a consequence, we've been consuming energy as if it's infinite. And we now know that our demand is badly outstripping supply, with China and India growing as rapidly as they are.
So could these high prices help us?
I think that I would have preferred a gradual adjustment.
Yeah. So a long time ago, Barack Obama kind of announced to the world, you're going to pay more for gas. You're going to pay more for heating oil. You're going to pay more for all of these things that are fossil fuels because we want to wean you off of them. And the Clean Power Plan was part of that. And I don't think anybody really realized at the time exactly how far they were going to go. This has hit consumers squarely in the pocket. Right, Katie?
Right. You know, to me, we would all be so much better off if our elected officials and our bureaucrats in D.C. would have a little bit of a historical bandwidth beyond, you know, the last tweet, because quotes like the one you just played there, you know, don't age well. And I think we would learn a lot by seeing these patterns repeat. You know, President Obama was the same one who said, look, we can't drill our way to cheaper gas prices. And then we did it.
Right.
And so to me, the hubris of his perspective is, look, the government's got to figure this all out for you because we have the answers. And we're telling you the answer is to wean off of an abundant energy source that is affordable and reliable and move in the direction of this politically correct energy technology. And I think Americans look at that and raise their eyebrows a little bit because America has a huge variety of energy resources. We have abundance. We have an innovation culture that I think can prepare us for whatever comes next. And here we've got people in D.C. saying, no, we're going to narrow the options to this handful that we like. And, you know, that just doesn't square well with reality, as we just heard from President Obama's 2007 quote.
Yeah, very true. Katie Tubb is my guest. She's a research fellow for energy and environmental issues at the Heritage Foundation. Here's what baffled me. I can go back and find the bite here where President Trump went to NATO, or he went to the United Nations, I think, and he lectured Germany on becoming too dependent on Russian oil, and they laughed at him. And in the meantime, Europe was over there going anti-nuclear, like they were shutting down nuclear power plants. And we've got the Callaway power plant here in Missouri. I don't know how much of that power from Callaway actually makes its way into the greater St. Louis area. It's probably 100 miles from here. But why do we not, if we talk about clean energy, why is there not more of a focus on nuclear? I don't understand that.
Yeah, you know, I think many on the left have come to, get to a point where they realize, oh, gosh, if I actually care about global warming, I have to take nuclear seriously. So I've seen some course correction, which I find very encouraging. That's an intellectual honesty that I respect. But there are still a lot of people who look at nuclear out of fear and not out of information. And, you know, nuclear has a PR problem that I think has a lot more to do with Hollywood than it has to do with facts, unfortunately.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense in any way, shape, or form. Am I correct or not? Isn't it France that pretty much shut down all of their nuclear power plants?
Germany. So France
Germany, okay.
is a very pro-nuclear country,
okay.
and the counterpoint is Germany, which is shutting them down despite them having a lot of usable lifespan left. So it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't know. So when you look forward as an analyst to what's going on with energy in America, and the fact that we were pretty much energy independent, at least in my mind, when Donald Trump was president, we've migrated away from that. Now we look at places talking about potentially rolling blackouts during this summer. We looked at the power grid problem in Texas. What are we facing here? Are we going to have to get used to that?
I certainly hope not. I certainly hope we course correct faster than that. But I think, you know, places like California, which are have been pushing an agenda very much like President Biden's, but have been doing it for years now, I worry that they're going to have to learn by way of failure. And that's a scary road to go down.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the lessons learned have to be at the federal level and at the state level, because there's a lot of state policies that look an awful lot like President Biden's. And I think that's why we're hearing all of these warning shots about reliability.
It's a great point. Katie Tubb with the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Thank you very much.
No, thanks for inviting me into the conversation.
Yeah, great information there, Katie. We appreciate that. Yeah. Hey, coming up a little later, we'll talk to David Zucker about what's going on out in St. Charles County.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Russia, Russia, Russia.
Marsha.
I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't. Hold on.
Russia.
Marsha.
Good.
It really is.
I almost put that on the short list, but...
You didn't want to rob me of the ability to play.
I didn't want to rob you of the joy that you have on your face right now.
You know, he says some baffling things. Now, here's the deal. I put up that picture on Facebook this morning of my gas purchase yesterday. In fact, if you look in the reflection of the glass, you can see my eyes in there where I'm taking the picture. It was somebody else's I did that sticker. I have some of those, but I did not put this one on this particular gas pump. It was already there. And it cost me $125.04 to fill up yesterday. Diesel at this particular station was $5.40 a gallon, it seems like. And my point was, Joe did that. Not Russia. Has Russia had some impact on that? Sure. The war in Russia. Our decision not to buy oil from Russia had some impact on that. What had a bigger impact on that is the fact that Joe Biden announced the day he walked into office what he was going to do to energy companies. He was going to shut down drilling permits. He made it clear during the debate. He told you what he was going to do, just like Barack Obama did when he took office in 2008. He told you in advance, you will intentionally pay more. It's why I wanted to have Katie Tubb on to talk about why this decision by the Supreme Court was a big deal yesterday. They wanted through the bureaucracy of the EPA to punish you. Right? That's what they wanted to do. Now, if Congress wants to put a tax on cigarettes or gas, they can do that. And for some people, the stated goal of a cigarette tax, a sin tax, is to make it so extraordinarily expensive that you will stop. What's the difference there? Well, you might be addicted to cigarettes because of the nicotine in them, but you have to get to work. You have to drive to the grocery store. You have to drive. You can't get around that. And they have decided they're going to punish you until you go buy a $50,000 Tesla or a $40,000 Chevy Volt or however much they cost now to get you away from energy. And that's why I argue that Joe Biden did that. Barack Obama and Joe Biden did that to you. They could have continued what Donald Trump was doing and allowed American manufacturers of oil and natural gas to continue developing it and pumping more of it and making us less dependent on other sources in the world. But they opted not to do that. They very intentionally went the opposite direction, which is why Joe Biden, Bob on Facebook, who wants to argue with me over this, is completely to blame for this. And then later, Vladimir Putin came along and invaded Russia. That happened a long time after Joe Biden took the steps that led us to where we are today. His decision to punish the gas companies and oil companies is the reason we're in the situation we're in today. There's no doubt about that. And he's going to pay a heavy price at the polls. David Axelrod admitted this on CNN this week. Listen.
You know, if you were looking at the chart, you'd say the vitals are not good. The president's approval ratings at 38%. His economic ratings are low. Consumer confidence is down. But on the basic numbers, you're absolutely right. And I think everybody recognizes that this at current course and speed, this could be a very painful fall for Democrats.
Yeah, this is part of the Democrats misreading the tea leaves, right? I've talked about this with the Supreme Court. They think this Supreme Court decision, this term, is going to help them in the fall. And Axelrod brought that up. We don't know yet, he said, what the impact is going to be on these Supreme Court decisions. But that's just one counterbalance. In the face of a strong headwind of inflation and gas prices, and it's not looking good for Dems this fall. Guess what happened yesterday? Do you know what happened yesterday? There was a debate in the Wyoming congressional race with Liz Cheney. I can speak. I knew what I wanted to say. Just wouldn't come out. I'm like Joe Biden. I had a Joe Biden moment. So the point being, Liz Cheney was on a stage with there are four people challenging her in the primary, but only Harriet Hegeman has been trouncing her by 30 points in all the polls. So last night there was a debate, and what does Liz Cheney do? Liz Cheney defaults to J6 because that's all she cares about is her overwhelming hatred of Donald Trump. Listen to this.
There's a real tragedy that's occurring, and the tragedy is that there are politicians in this country, beginning with Donald Trump, who have lied to the American people, and people have been betrayed. He consistently has said that the election was stolen when it wasn't, when it's absolutely clear the courts decided, the courts determined the outcome, as you've seen, as you've watched our hearings, for example.
The courts haven't determined any outcome. They refused to hear the case, Liz. And you help co-chair a very one-sided J6 committee. And you are hyper-focused on something, and you're out of touch. And the polls reflect that. And just like David Axelrod and the others who misread the tea leaves here, the Biden administration, her opponent, who's kicking her butt in the primary, pointed that out again last night in the debate. And I wanted you to hear this. This is Harriet Hegeman, who's running against Cheney and will be the next congresswoman from the state of Wyoming. Listen.
Yeah, I think that this is an example of how the press and certain people have obsessed over January 6th, because now we've had two questions in this debate and they've both been focused on that. I've traveled over 30,000 miles around the state of Wyoming since I started this. I'm the only one up here who's actually been out there campaigning in the state of Wyoming to that extent in meeting with the people. The only time that the J6 situation ever comes up is when people talk about how unfair this entire committee is. They're terribly concerned about the lack of due process. They're concerned about the fact that there's no ability to confront or cross-examine witnesses. And they also recognize with these hearings that you might have 15 hours of videotaped depositions and the committee shows 13 seconds of something or 2.5 minutes of something.
Thank you. Harriet Hegeman said you're out of touch. Nobody is talking about this anymore. This is not what the voters care about. And Liz Cheney's blind to it. Oh, by the way, Liz Cheney's attorney is running for Senate in Missouri as an independent. Did you know that? Thought I'd point that out again. John Wood, who we had on yesterday, who described her as his good friend, and he was her legal counsel on the J6 committee until just, a week ago, when he stepped away from that to run for Senate in Missouri. And my suspicion is the reason he didn't run in the primary is that the same thing would happen to him here in the primary as is happening to Liz Cheney in her primary in Wyoming. He'd get trounced. And he's hoping in a general he can find some, fellow snowflakes out there who are only focused on Donald Trump. I don't know. They're misreading what's going on here. By the way, speaking of elections, some people wisely are already looking ahead to next year. We're going to talk to Dave Zucker coming up. He's the chairman of the Republican Central Committee out in St. Charles County. Next hour, Mark McCloskey is going to join us as well. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Somebody came up to me at the event we had with the Heritage folks a month or two ago, and they said, how can I get more involved? What do we need to do? I'm like, you got to get involved at the grassroots level. And I'm sure Dave Zucker would back me up on that, chairman of the St. Charles County Republican Central Committee. Dave, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Mark. I'm fine, and I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you.
Yeah, well, thank you for doing it, because it's important. This is important stuff. And I appreciate the fact that you're a planner. That's what you do. And you're looking ahead at what we need to do to get people ready for elections next year, right?
Right. Well, we have two things coming up in 2 weeks. We are holding a candidate forum in Wentzville for Republican candidates running for the state Senate in the newly created 10th senatorial district. And then in September, we're holding our sixth annual candidate school for people who are interested in running for local office. So I'm happy to talk about both.
Yeah, well, let's do that. Let's focus in, first on the school that's going on in September. I think there's maybe people don't really understand what all goes into running for office, but you can't just decide one day you're going to run and put your name on the ballot the next day.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I we had one student some years ago who wanted to run for state rep and was appalled when we told him that he had to go to Jefferson City for 4.5 or 5 days a week for 5.5 months. And he said, I have a job. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's anyway, kind of how that works.
So this will be the sixth year that we've put on a school for candidates for local office. We teach people what it takes to set up a campaign committee, some do's and don'ts, how to raise money, how to stay on the right side of the Missouri Ethics Commission, talk about things that are good to do. And I tell people, I'm usually the introductory speaker, and I tell them things I did wrong in my first campaign.
Yeah.
I show them example of my yard sign, which was way too busy.
Those things are important. And before we run out of time here, I want to give you a chance to also tell us where people can find out more about that if they want to plan to attend in September.
All right. So the school is on Saturday, September 10th in O'Fallon at the Hilton Garden Inn, just off the Winghaven exit of Interstate 64. The information, including registration, is at the stcharlesgop.com website.
Okay, good.
The cost is $50. We provide a buffet lunch. doors open at 8. The class begins at 9, and we should be done sometime between 2:30 and 3.
Good investment. stcharlesgop.com. Dave Zucker, my guest. Remind us again of the candidate forum. I got about a minute left here, Dave.
All right. So July 13th, Wednesday evening in Wentzville at the Bear Creek Country Club, 158 Bear Creek Drive. the doors open at 6. The forum begins at 7. Three of the five candidates running, Republican candidates running for the new Senate District 10 will be there.
Good.
District 10 is Western St. Charles County, Wentzville, Forestall, Lincoln and Pike County, Montgomery, and Callaway County.
Well,
there are two guys who are connected to St. Charles County. That would be Judge Mike Carter and former state rep Brian Spencer.
All right. Well, I'm up against the clock here, Dave, but people can find out more at stcharlesgop.com. Thank you, my friend. Hope to see you soon.
All right, Mark. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you. We're going to be back with Mark McCloskey after the top of the hour.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.